that so much. Thank you so much. Good to see all of you this morning. And let me say...
Children, you did a good job. Yeah. All right. And so if you're normally in junior church, you can be dismissed back to the
Amen.
Church. All right?
Amen. I thought maybe you were going to punish them and they were going to have to listen to me for a minute. I didn't know. Oh, me. Good number of young people. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. Well, Pastor, let me say that Pastor Thayer sends his wishes, best wishes to you and to your church. And thank you again for the honor of just being able to come today and be with you. And I want to encourage you to pray for Massillon Baptist College. We're excited about what God is doing there. And we thank the Lord for our students. And after the service, I want to encourage you to go by and meet the quartet. Amber is here. She's one of our young ladies from the college. She'll be at the book table and the CD table after church. And she would love for you to come by there. And we have some CDs of the music down through the years of Massillon Baptist College. Everybody needs good music in their home. And there's a lot of junk out there. And so I'm thankful we can bring something to you today that would be a help to you. People today want something that's going to make them feel good. I don't want something that's going to make me feel good. I want something that's going to help me spiritually. Amen. And it's more to it than just patting your foot or something like that. You want something that's going to feed the soul. And that's what you'll find out there. We also have some of Dr. Cummins' books with us. And so if you'd like to go by there and see those, and we're excited about that. And then some of his books were getting reprinted, and we're excited about that, and that'll be coming out here very soon, and looking forward to that on what God is doing. And then if you have a young person that is getting close to college age, maybe they're already in high school, maybe around that 10th grade, 11th grade age bracket, would you encourage them to come to Spring Fest? And Spring Fest is our college days this year. It's coming up April the 16th through the 18th. They'll come in on Thursday evening, and they'll get to spend that evening. We'll have time there in the student center. They'll spend the night in the dorms. That's always encouraging, staying in the dorms, Pastor. And then the next morning, get to go to the classes. We've got four classes lined up for them to go to where they're actually being there with the students. And then that afternoon, we'll have lunch together. And then we're going to do something real spiritual. We're going to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And so you got to do that if you're in our area. So we're going over to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And then when we come back, again, we'll have a time of fellowship. And then during all this, we're going to be having Evangelist Sam Robinson with us. He's going to be preaching. And he's going to be preaching twice to us during that time. And then also, that night is our insomnia. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with what that is. That's almost like let's put it this way. The teenagers stay up all night long. And probably Carrie Cron's going to stay up all night long, our piano player. And she's going to stay up all night long. Brother Sunday, our youth pastor, asked me the other day, he said, "You going to stay up all night long?" I said, "No, sir, that's why you're the youth pastor." And I'm going home, go to bed. But my son will be there, and that'll be a good time. And they're going to be having, again, Brother Robinson preaching that night. And then they're going over for a laser tag and all these different things to be going on that night. For the whole thing, $35. And so that's not bad at all. And that's better than Kmart's Blue Light Special, all right? And so take advantage of that. We've got material back there on that. We would love to have you take part of that. And then also these guys, pick up one of their cards. And on the back, it tells you a little bit about the college. And then also it tells you how that you can find them on the media there, on Facebook. They got their own Facebook page. We don't have them individually on Facebook. So when you go, you find out about the whole quartet. And we don't give out their personal information. So we don't want people to have their personal information across the country. But they can find out as a group. So if you'd like that, please pick up one of those. And then if you'd like a brochure on the college, we have those also out there. And we are still one of the lowest cost colleges I know of in America for a year, $3,700. And so again, that is for the year, staying on campus in the dorms, and $3,700. You say that there's no way you can get a quality education that way. That's why people help fund it. And so the only way we can keep tuition low is we have churches just like yourself here and others that are supporting that ministry. And then, of course, Massillon Baptist Temple also puts a lot of money back into the college. Dr. Cummins did not want money to keep somebody from getting a Bible college education. And you know as well as I do, it costs today. And the college education continues to rise, and parents wonder, how in the world are we going to be able to do this? I sure am thankful that the cost here at Massillon is low enough that really a young person could work in the summer and probably get enough in the summer that they could almost pay their whole year's tuition. And so I want you to keep that in mind. We got information back there on that. And then one more commercial and I'll be done. If you are interested in starting college ahead of time, maybe you're in high school, and we have what's called a Rapid Start program. You can actually start earning credits while you're in high school. This is a wonderful thing, so that when you come to college, you already can earn up to 9 credits before you ever get on campus. And so that's something interesting. We have information on that if you would like that also. Now, most important thing, have you got your Bible with you? Amen. I want you to turn to John 14, if you would, please. John 14 and Revelation chapter 20. John 14 and Revelation chapter number 20. And again, thank you so much for allowing us to come. It is our privilege. I don't take it lightly to be able to stand behind the pulpit of another pastor. That is an honor. And I want you to know that, Pastor. I appreciate that. And thank you for the invitation. God's been so good to us. And we thank Him and praise Him for that. How many of you are glad you're in church this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I tell you what, I'm thankful we can be in the house of the Lord. And I am thankful that we serve a God that can be not only at Massillon Baptist Temple this morning. I sure am glad He can be here with us this morning. And I'm praying for the services back there. And when I arrived this morning, I text Brother Pastor Thayer and let him know that we arrived here safely. And again, he reminded me, prayed for you first thing this morning and prayed for the church and the services there. I'm glad we got people there praying for this ministry. And then I asked you here to pray for those that are there. John chapter 14, verse number 1. You're familiar with this, I know, but I just want to get your mind thinking for just a moment. Jesus said this, "Let not your heart be troubled." And can I say, everywhere I go, there are people with troubled hearts. Everywhere I go, somebody is troubled. I was taught this when I was in Bible college. If you preach to a hurting people, you will never lack for a congregation. Because people are hurting everywhere that you go.
That's right.
But Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Now notice this. He said, "You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." Notice this next statement, please. "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Pastor's already said it this morning, but can I reiterate something? Jesus is coming soon. Jesus could come today. There's nothing that says He's not coming today. Matter of fact, I believe there are more things pointing that He would come today than that He would not come today. But most people don't believe that. When we talk about Jesus is coming, people, yeah, I know He's coming. But we really don't think that He could come today. I found out that if somebody's coming over to our house, and my wife knows about it. She always wants to know when somebody's coming. Let's say if I invite Miss Carrie Cron to come over to our house. Even though my wife knows Miss Carrie Cron, she wants to make sure the house is clean before she gets there. She wants to make sure everything's in order before she gets there. Now, I'll be honest with you. Me as a fellow, I don't think about stuff like that. I really don't. People have come over to the house. I'm like, "Yeah, come on in." And my wife's like, "You let them in?" And she's over there. And some of you ladies know exactly what I'm talking about. But if we know ahead of time, then she's already given me my responsibility list of what I'm to do. And she's already given my son a responsibility list of what he's to do. No, by the way, we better follow that list too. Amen. Because somebody's coming over to the house. And then she has a responsibility list. And in other words, When we know somebody's coming, we get things in order. Amen. Jesus is getting ready to come, folks. Amen. We better get some stuff in order.
Right.
He's getting ready to come. Now, I can stand here all day and say, now, he's going to come. Well, I've heard that down through the years. I remember Dr. Lee Robertson said that many years ago, and Jesus hadn't come yet. But today could be the day. And oh, by the way, it might not just be Jesus coming back for me. It could be him taking me to be with him. That could happen today.
Yeah.
I tell people this, I may not make it back to my house. But I know this, I'll make it home.
Yeah.
Amen. My home's not down here. I'm a citizen of another country. Amen.
Amen.
And this could be the day when Jesus calls me home. Won't you think about it? People talk about how that things are getting worse and worse, and things are getting worse and worse. But if you'll note, when we get ready to attack another country, the first thing we do is we call that ambassador home. Well, let me remind you that it's almost time for an attack to take place, and we call that the tribulation period. But before that can happen, the ambassadors has got to go home.
Amen.
And this could be that day. So as I look at this passage of Scripture, the Bible, the Lord says, you don't have to be troubled about this. Let me remind you, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. That's a promise from Christ. And he has either kept all his promises, is keeping all of his promises, or will keep all his promises. He's not failed in one yet. So, can I report to you, according to the Word of God, if you are a child of God this morning, Jesus has a place for you.
Amen.
Isn't that precious thing about that? He has a place for me. He has a place for you. That's wonderful to think about. But would you go with me to Revelation chapter 20, please? Revelation chapter 20. And if you will look down at verse number 11 of Revelation chapter 20, the Bible says, "And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." Now, just a moment ago, we read John 14, and we found out that for the child of God, I don't have to be troubled in my heart. I can have the peace of God in my heart because I have a place. But in Revelation chapter 20, there's a group of people that doesn't have a place. The Bible says there was found no place for them. Would you read the next verse? Please, verse number 12. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." Would you go down here to verse number 15? And let's all read it aloud. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." That's who he's talking about. Do you know why they were cast into the lake of fire? Because they didn't have a place. They didn't have a place. You see, hell was not created for you, neither was hell created for myself. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. But yet, people are going there every day. Matter of fact, just think about the amount of people that are going to hell today while we're in church. And the reason they're going there is simply this, because there's no place for them. There's no place for them. A few years ago, I had the privilege to go to Ghana, West Africa. And when I went to Ghana, West Africa, I was going there to preach in the prisons and then to preach in some of the churches, encourage some of the pastors. And while we were there, I was taken to a very interesting place. It was called Cape Coast Castle. Most historians believe that Cape Coast Castle was originally built as a small trading lodge, which was subsequently added to and enlarged until it became a fortification. In 1637, the lodge was occupied by the Dutch. Then in 1652, it was captured by the Swedes, who named it Fort Carolusburg. For a time, both the local people and the various European powers fought for and gained possession of this fort. Then finally in 1664, after a four-day battle, the fort was captured by the British and renamed Cape Coast Castle. The castle served as the seat of the British administration and the then Gold Coast, which is now Ghana, until the administration was moved to Christiansborg Castle in Accra on March 19, 1877. Slaves were kept at Cape Coast Castle. They were kept there in dungeons while waiting to be transported to the New World. Around 1,000 male slaves and 500 female slaves occupied the castle at any one given time in separate dungeons. Each slave would be locked up for 6 to 12 weeks. And they were waiting for their turn to board one of the ships. The dungeons were unbearable with hundreds of slaves crammed in together. No toilet facilities. As a matter of fact, when I was in there, there was just one little place up in the very top that they could even get a ray of light whatsoever. No lights on the inside. And they had channels cut in the floor where waste would run. Hundreds and thousands of people would stay there together, crammed in, and many of them would die just from being in that dungeon. I can remember walking across the floor, and as I walked across the floor, I could tell the floor didn't feel right when I was walking across the stones. Just the texture of it just wasn't quite right. And I asked my guide that was taking me through, I said, the stones here just doesn't feel quite right. And he said, no, because you're not walking on stones, you're walking on human remains. He says, that's many people that had died in this very room where you're standing. As I continued on my tour going through there, and they told me about how the slaves would be chained and the only thing they had to look forward to was a door. They took me over to that doorway and I saw something and I looked back at him and I said, you mean this is the only thing they have to look forward to? He said, that is it. And above the door was these words written, the door of no return. The only thing they had to look forward to was death. That was it. When they went through that door, they had no idea what was going to happen to them. All their freedom had been taken from them. They would board a ship and be taken somewhere that they did not know where they'd be going. They would spend the rest of their lives in slavery, and the only thing they had to look forward to was the day they died. That was it. Many of them, some 10 to 15%, would die of infection just from riding in the ships to go to whatever country they might be going to. The trip usually lasted anywhere from 5 to 8 weeks, and that's if the weather was good. The men were packed in the ship's holds and tight quarters, and they had no toilet facilities on board. They were chained together. And if everything went well, and the captain and the people on board the ship was having a good day, they might would let these people go up to the top deck just so they could see daylight. Women were often allowed more freedom, but the only problem of it was they were raped on board that ship. They would end up having babies whom the people on board would kill. Doesn't sound like anything to look forward to me. As I listened to that guide and as I walked there and as I looked at that door, that thought kept coming to my mind. The door of no return. You can't go back. This is it. You're at the door of no return. The door of no return. I'd like for you to notice with me, please, in Revelation chapter 20, verse number 11 and verse 12, you're going to find the setting of what's known as the Great White Throne Judgment. The setting of the Great White Throne Judgment. Would you look with me, please? And I saw a great white throne. Oh, I see the background here. This is the very throne of God. Purity so intense that even the seraphim shrink in awe. The very throne of Almighty God. You never thought you would see such a thing. Oh, while we were here on earth, we played our games and we went to church and Satan doesn't mind if you go to church just as long as you don't get saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's okay if you come on Sunday morning. He don't even mind if you go on Sunday night. He might even say it's okay to go on Wednesday night, but just don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, maybe you fall in this category of where all your life somebody reminds you of a profession that you made, but you yourself know that it wasn't even real. I've talked to people and I say something like this. Do you know for sure today that if you were to die that you'd go to heaven? And sometimes it might be a parent or it might be a husband or it might be a wife or it might be a friend that would step up and say, oh yes, they're saved. Do you know this morning you're the only one that can answer that question? I can't answer that for you. Yes, he's saved, preacher. Well, wait just a minute. Now let's let them answer for themselves. Because you see, they need to go ahead and answer now, Pastor, because there's coming a day when they will answer for themselves. Because as he already mentioned, there's coming a day when every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And it's either going to be at the judgment seat of Christ for the saved, or it's going to be at the great white throne for the lost.
Right.
There is no other judgment. There's not one in between there. You say, well, I tell you what, now I've been a pretty good fella. That's not going to hold up, because you're going to find out they're going to open the books. The books are going to be opened up and we're going to be judged out of those things. Now here's the thing, if you're at the judgment seat of Christ, thanks be unto God, it's because you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, you're a child of God, and He has a place for you. But what if you're one of those that don't know Christ? What if you're one of those that He doesn't have a place for you? Then my friend, can I say, the great white throne judgment, you've just went through the door of no return. There is no going back. There is no, well, I'm sorry. There is no, well, have mercy on me. And there is no, but mom, but dad, or but husband or wife. That's not going to work, because you have crossed that door of no return. There could be somebody in here right now that's getting ready to cross that door of no return. Do you realize that if you die without Christ, you've crossed that door of no return? You're not going to come back and get a second chance. You say, yeah, but if God really loves me, hey, He's already gave His Son Jesus to die and pay your sin debt. What more would a person want than that? He's done it all. We're getting ready to celebrate Resurrection Sunday when we talk about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. He didn't do that for Himself. He did it for you. Amen. That should have been you and me that was hanging on that cross. You say, well, all I want in this world is what I deserve. Boy, I hope you don't feel that way, because if you get what you deserve, you're going to go straight to a deviled hell. Boy, I'm glad I'm not getting what I deserve. But I'm receiving the mercy of Almighty God. Oh, thank God for His mercy and His grace. The setting here, the terrible fact, there is a great white throne judgment and every lost person will stand there. I want you to notice something else. I want you to notice the figure at this judgment. John sees him and at once he knows exactly who he is. The nail prints are in his hands. Men have made fun of him. Men have cursed him. Men have laughed at him, but they're not doing it today. Not at this judgment. No one's making fun of him here in Revelation chapter 20, because now you're going to find that lost crowd is having to stand before a holy God. And can I say, as the Scripture said, thou art inexcusable, O man. There's no excuse. What can I come up with for not trusting Jesus Christ? No excuse is going to be good enough. No excuse is going to work. He said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Can I say, there are three types of death. There's that physical death. That's when we leave this old body, this tabernacle of flesh. And I like what the Scripture says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But there is a physical death. Before I ever got saved, I was spiritually dead. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. I used to be dead in sin, but now I've been quickened. I've been made alive through the blood of Jesus Christ. But then there's eternal death. What's eternal death? That's when a person dies without Christ. Dies without Christ. They have crossed that door of no return. And when they went through that door of no return, there's not a word that can be spoken. There's not an excuse that can be used. Nothing is going to give them a place in heaven now. They're going to have to go to a place that was never meant for them. And it's because they chose that path. I want you to notice not only the fact and the figure, but I want you to notice the fear. The Bible says here that even the heaven and the earth fled away, for they have been defiled by sin, and they're going to have to be made anew. Everything that was thought to be stable is now gone away. Every stone, every landmark, every hiding place is removed, and now only you stand before this holy, omnipotent, omniscient God waiting for His judgment to be pronounced. Fear is going to come over you like you've never known before. Pastor mentioned it before when the angel said, fear not. Boy, I'm glad for those words, fear not. But that's not going to be said at this judgment. It's going to be fear. It's going to be fear. But then I want you to notice the fellowship that's going to be there. The dead. Those that are eternally dead. Eternal separation from God. No mercy. Hey, I just want you to think about something real quick. We've never seen a flower bloom to its full potential. One day we will. The child of God will. We've never smelt a fragrance to its full potential. One day we will. When the curse is lifted, we will one day. We've never seen beauty as we will one day. Can I say to that lost crowd, you better enjoy all that you have down here now, because this is the best it's going to get. This is the best you'll ever have it. Enjoy it while you can. Here, the fellowship, the dead, they're united to, they're going to have the fellowship of horror and despair. Can you imagine the fellowship, the company of Hitler and Stalin and Caligula and Nero and Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden. And oh, by the way, if you're lost, you'll be right there with them. That's the crowd that you'll be hanging around. That's the crowd you'll fellowship with. And oh, by the way, there won't be any fellowship. You'll be right in line with them. All are congregated for a fellowship of horror for the first and the last time. But I want you to notice the Bible says the books are going to be open in verse number 11. Verse number 12 says the books were open and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. The Lamb's book of life is going to be open. Written in this book are the names of those who have trusted Christ as Savior from the beginning to the end. People who had no hope for themselves but humbled themselves and cried out, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's the ones whose names are written in that book. But at this judgment, when that book is open, your name won't be written there. Your name's not going to be found written in that book. There's the book of the lives of the lost. And nothing can save a man who is determined to stand on his own record. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Standing on your own merit will only get you to hell. The sinner can ask God for a free pardon or even demand a fair trial. All those at this judgment have chosen a fair trial. So therefore, God will give them one and they'll be judged by their works. And no man can get to heaven on their works. I see, second of all here in verse number 13, not only the setting, but I see the summons. The Bible says here, the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. There's not going to be any hiding place. The first question put to man after he sinned was, where art thou? Oh, God knew exactly where he was, but he wanted man to admit it. Oh, by the way, God knows where you are this morning. He just wants you to admit it. And wouldn't it be better to admit it today than to have to wait and admit it at this judgment, at the great white throne? Out of the tombs, out of the sea, out of the graves, out of the burning sands, all lost mankind will come and stand before a holy God. Bodies raised from dust, souls raised from hell, to stand before the one who will cast forth judgment according to their works. They've went through that door of no return. They can't go back. It's no way. Just like over there when those slaves were carried through that door. The only thing they had to look forward to was death. And a person that crosses that door of no return, what do you have to look forward to? Hell. He said, boy, that's as bad as it could get. Well, let me tell you something. Those who are in hell are kind of like those that are in jail cell right now. You know what they have to look forward to? Coming out of the jail cell, standing before the judge, and being cast into the lake of fire. You go from jail to prison. And there's no getting out. No parole. No getting out for good behavior. You say, well, I'll just burn up. If I'm going to go to fire, I'll just burn up. It's not going to work that way. And do you realize that the Bible talks about how that after the great white throne judgment that there come a time when God will wipe away all tears. I personally believe, I know according to Scripture, we will not, the saved will not be judged at the great white throne judgment. I thank God for that. But I believe we very well could be spectators there. I believe we very well could be there when our son or daughter hears those words. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. You know, sometimes we sing that song, sorry, I never knew you. God's not going to say sorry that day. He's done all that can be done. Depart from me. I never knew you. Here I'm standing and I hear that for my son or my daughter. And I believe there's going to be some weeping going on at the great white throne judgment. There is no going back. There is no return. There's no going back through the door. The door of no return. You've crossed. You've went through that door. There is no going back. I believe if you have any life in you at all, you're going to be so broken when you see that son or daughter or husband or wife be cast into the lake of fire. And then, I sure am glad that God's going to reach over and wipe away all those tears. And I believe when that happens, He wipes away all remembrance of that one that was just cast into the lake of fire. So why do you say that? How could you enjoy eternity knowing your son or daughter was burning in hell? You see, if you choose to go to hell, you're going to go to a place and you won't even be remembered. But it's your choice. Now, if you're here this morning, I still believe in whosoever will may come. I believe God's given you another opportunity. God don't want you to cross that door of no return. He wants you to go through another door. That's the door of salvation where Jesus said, I am the door. And if you want to get to heaven, that's the door you're going to have to go through. The door of good works won't do it. The door of baptism won't do it. The door of church membership won't do it. Let's quit playing games. Let's go through the door of salvation. You say, well, I'm afraid what somebody might say. I would rather what somebody might say here I would be what Jesus is going to say at the great white throne.
That's right.
And oh, by the way, I'm not going to stand before man. I'm going to stand before Jesus one day. And His words is what's going to make the difference. You see, now comes this sentence, and I'm done. Verse 14. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you realize that still applies today? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That still applies today. But you see, I've got to realize something. I've got to realize I'm a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I've got to realize something. My righteousness is nothing. All our righteousness are as filthy rags. There's none righteous but God. But you see, when we get washed in the blood of the Lamb, when God looks at me, He doesn't see me in my righteousness. He sees me in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You see, when I stand before the Lord, I can't claim anything I've done. All I can claim is the blood of Jesus. And you know, that's all God's looking for. It's the blood of His dear Son. The Bible says that God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let me ask you this morning, and I'm finished. Which door are you walking through? You see, there is a door of no return. And I don't know when that time's going to come, but I do know this. It just seems like yesterday I was a teenager playing basketball, and that's all I had on my mind. Now, I'm 47 years old, and I look back and I talk more about what I used to do than what I'm able to do. If you think about it, you might fall into that same category. Time's moving on. I've preached several messages on the blood moons, Pastor. I find it fascinating. The Gentiles don't seek after a sign, but the Jewish people do. And the Jewish people are watching.
Yes, they are.
Matter of fact, they're talking about it quite often. And they find it fascinating about what's going on in the sky. The Bible talks about how the Gentiles seek after wisdom. Isn't it interesting? If we're not careful, we'll think we know so much, but yet know so little. And God is putting signs out there to wake us up if we just wake up. But you got to pay attention. There's something interesting going on among all those blood moons. Is going to be a solar eclipse. Right in the middle of it. The Jewish people look at that and say, you know, I don't know exactly what's going on. But you see, they believe that the lunar is for the Jews and the solar is for the Gentiles. They said, we don't quite understand what's going on, but something is going to go on for the Gentile people right in the middle of all this. Be all right with me.
Amen.
If the Lord just took us on home. He mentioned it. If you study it out, a lot of interesting things have happened on those Jewish feast days.
Right.
God doesn't work on our calendar. He works on the Jewish calendar. Sure is interesting. You say you're trying to scare me. If I could scare you into getting saved, I'd do it.
Amen.
But if the Holy Spirit of God can't do it, neither will a moon do it. Which door are you walking through? There's only one that's going to get you to heaven, and that's the door of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Can we stand together, please? Amen. Pastor, if you'll come. Father, we love you today, and thank you for the wonderful privilege of being able to preach your word. And Father, as we walked through that door over there in Ghana, West Africa, you broke my heart. The door of no return. Those men and women were never able to be free again. Never. They died in slavery, never able to be free. Lord, there might be one here today that they're in slavery right now. And Lord, they're getting ready to go through that door where they'll never have freedom. Father, I pray, would you turn them around? And may they see their need to trust you and walk through the door of salvation. Father, bless doing this invitation, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.
While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, as the piano plays through a verse of invitation,